under the bridge since Pat. A lot has happened between the Crokes and between Kerry. How has it been for you?
Oh, it's been obviously a hectic year, and it's been, you know, I suppose, memorable in a lot of ways. Huge emotion during the year, different games, and I suppose, you know, we always felt that, you know, that for this team in particular, like, you know, to go back to another All-Ireland, like, and maybe, you know, would be a great achievement, and so far they've done that, and the next step maybe is the biggest hurdle, you know, and hopefully we might be able to get over that.
Early in the year, when you were going so well with the Crokes, and you went to the All-Ireland semi-final, then the final, and then the drawing game, and the replay, and then you were involved with Kerry. Did you feel at any time that things were getting on top of you? Did you feel, Christ, what am I after landing myself in here?
Yeah, well, I suppose, you know, I mean, I didn't really. I mean, to be fair, I enjoy what I do, so that helps. I mean, as long as it didn't affect the family, I was okay, and I was kind of... I was on stable ground at that stage, but it got hectic for a while. I mean, there was no doubt about it. Like, you know, around the draws and the replays in the club, I remember we played, you know, one of the games, and we played Tyrone in the National League on a Saturday night, and went up and played the All-Ireland on the Sunday. And, you know, your concentration can be different. I mean, it was the same after the Moorfield game in Nina. We went up and we played Cavan the following day. We played Fermanagh above in Cavan, and... You know, I mean, that obviously takes a bit of a strain. But as I said, I mean, you know, that was unusual, and I don't think anybody envisaged that was going to happen. So, you know, to be fair, I mean, when the club situation had finished, you know, I remember going into the next training session with Kerry, and I apologised to the players because I don't think it was right in anybody. You know, it wasn't fair on anybody at that particular time, and it was, you know, I was being kind of dragged between both, and nobody kind of felt that was going to be the case initially. So I felt that I needed to kind of put the record straight and kind of get back to what I was concentrating on then.
You mentioned there, Pat, your family. I suppose the most important thing in any man's life is his family. And of course they've been behind you 100%, like, but did you find the whole year that maybe that you weren't spending as much time as you would have preferred? But I presume then you knew all that before you went into it.
Yeah, there was nothing different from when we went in than what we expected. So, I mean, it was part and parcel of what comes with the job and comes with the game. I mean, as I said, they're involved in the sport and they're involved in the games and they enjoy going to them. I suppose it gives you less time at home, which is understandable. But it also, you know, it didn't change too much, you know, thankfully. And I was able to, you know, juggle maybe the home life and obviously work as well, which wasn't easy either. But we kind of got it all done. And to be fair, I suppose the football and particularly with Kerry, then the concentration was on that for the majority of the year and we were happy.
When you went in, Pat, and you began the training and the games began and things like that, had you set out in your own mind what type of football Kerry would have played? I think you had because you've been quoted in this. Now, training the Crokes would be well known for their short passing game, but Kerry don't do that. But I would imagine you had to give that a lot of thought and you had to know exactly where you were going.
Yeah, I mean, I have a kind of a philosophy quite different than some other people, and maybe very similar to other people as well. I mean, most of the players that we deal with are what I would consider the greatest footballers, you know, in the country, and you know, exceptionally talented, and would be true leaders in their own clubs, and you know, in any other county. So, the most important thing for me was that we wouldn't upset and change the way they can play the game. I mean, that was the most important thing, that they could feel comfortable in their role, what they do well, how they're so naturally gifted. And that we could kind of in some way kind of maybe combine them and maybe bring them together without changing too much of their own game. And I think that was the real balancing act. You know, and I mean, we were never going to change away from the style that has made obviously Kerry successful. I mean, there was never going to be an issue of where we were going to, you know, go away from a long ball, direct play, you know. And then probably we took maybe a slight bit of criticism after the Manning game in that we were probably too one-dimensional and we went too long all the time and we didn't vary our game, and it kind of, you know, it highlighted the fact that maybe we have to look at, you know, other ways. And to be fair, I suppose the Dublin game gave us the opportunity maybe of varying things up, and maybe we saw maybe more of a kind of a complete performance from the team in that respect. But as I said, I mean, every game is different, you know, as long as the players are happy, I think it makes everybody's job a lot easier, and as long as it doesn't take too much away from what their natural game is, I think that helps and benefits the team.
When you mentioned the Monaghan game there, and you got a little bit of a constructive criticism, I would say. I don't think anybody went overboard or anything like that, but I suppose it only proved that you and your selectors were learning, and that's what it's all about. You learned from the Monaghan game and you put it into practice in the Dublin game, but that's a great complaint.
It is, and I mean, we always said that this year was going to be a big learning year for us. I mean, regardless of, you know, what experience you have at any level, you know, when you get involved with the Kerry Senior football team, it's always going to be a pressurised situation, and every game is different. And, you know, players, I suppose, perform differently at different times of the year, which is unusual as well. But, I mean, it's true. You know, players can be very good early in the season, and maybe their form might drop for a few weeks, and then suddenly they might come again. And that happens, and you have to try and keep an eye on everything. But, I mean, you know, we are constantly learning about the players, about ourselves, and obviously about oppositions and teams that we are playing against. You know, and I mean, the Monaghan game was a typical example of, you know, we went in, you know, the six-week playoff probably didn't help. You know, we felt Monaghan were probably a better team than most people gave them credit. But in fairness, we felt there was obviously a lot more improvement in us after that game. And thankfully, I suppose, against Dublin, we saw some of that coming out.
Having said all that, Pat, and you're not wanting to change the players' style of playing, things like that, Pat O'Shea must have brought in his own stamp on the Kerry team. As a matter of fact, I thought against Dublin, in particular when Cluxton kicked the ball out to Donaghy and he held the ball under Hill 16 for about 8 or 9 or 10 passes and the point came off it, I thought that was a kind of a stamp of Pat O'Shea's player, a kind of a Dr. Croke style holding the ball, which of course was highly successful and it worked out. What stamp did you bring into the team, do you think?
Yeah, and funnily enough, no, there was never an issue, you know, about speaking about what we would do with ball and keeping the ball and all that. And I think the only stamp I would say that I would have ever brought to any team is that I would like players to be able to make better decisions with the ball and to be able to make decisions quicker. And, I mean, the players themselves spoke very openly about how we would approach the games, particularly the last game against Dublin, and about being able to use the ball and taking the right decision and being able to make the decisions on the game. And I think, you know, we all know going to Croke Park or going to any big game, you know, 83,000 people, I mean, you're not going to get information onto the field. You're not going to be able to tell players what you should want them to do, and you're not going to be able to walk them through situations in a training scenario. So basically what has to happen is the players have to be comfortable to be able to think on their own and think on their feet and make decisions on their own and make the decisions as the game goes on. And, you know, I think if players feel comfortable, it goes back to the philosophy, if people feel comfortable in the way that they are playing and it doesn't take away from their natural game and they are able to make decisions a little bit quicker and they're able to make the right decision more often than not, I honestly think that good things are going to happen most often.
Turning to the league, had you in your mind gone into the league and your fellow selectors, the two Gainies, that you wouldn't concentrate all that much in the league? And was the game against Dublin in Parnell Park a kind of a defining game, the day that Dara was missing and Michal Quirk had a blind that day and you beat Dublin above in their own backyard? Talk to us about the league and that particular game.
Yeah, I suppose for us, the league kind of had the scenario of where we were appointed, I won't say late, but we were kind of, I suppose, we weren't going to do anything any earlier if we had been appointed any earlier. So it kind of gave us a bit of time before Christmas to, I suppose, put our own stamp on things with regards to what we would like to see happen as a management group. Then the players obviously had a couple of trips. There was a trip with the Kerry team and then there was the All-Star trip at the end of the month. And then the league started on the first week of February and we were away to Mayo, which was, you know, obviously going to be tough. And I mean, our whole scenario was that we wanted to do as well as we could in the league. But we also wanted to give ourselves the opportunity of maybe having a look at a number of players. And I mean, that's what it probably gave us. That it gave us the opportunity to look at some younger players, some newer players. And we played a lot of players during the league. But no question at all. I mean, every game was different in the league. We had, you know, areas of where sendings off were happening, where there was a little bit of indiscipline, where, you know, where performance was very, very good, where we had to kind of get a couple of results to keep ourselves up. There was avoiding relegation. There was trying to maybe force yourself into the playoffs. So, every game was important there. What was great about the league is the games came very quick and you were able to turn over a game very quickly and you were able to concentrate on another game and sweep one under the carpet and move on. And that was important. But without question, the Dublin game, because it became a relegation playoff, really, as such. Like, you know, I mean, whoever last we felt on the day was going to go down. Now it turned out that Monaghan or that Tyrone had beaten me or lost to me above in Tyrone, and that made it different. But overall, I mean, the Dublin game, beating Dublin away, I think it had even implications for last Sunday, to be honest about it. I think it had implications that there was confidence in our lives that we had gone up to Parnell Park, we had beaten Dublin. Dublin had played at least 12, if not 13, in the first 15 they played last Sunday against us that day. And, you know, we had gone up there without some of our bigger players, you know, and then suddenly to have done so well, I think it was important, you know, from our point of view as a management team, that we didn't get relegated. You know, I mean, we were disappointed we didn't go to the playoffs, but, you know, we took positives out of the league and we said, OK, we had a lot of players played. You know, we had some good results, and particularly coming into the championship, we had kind of a confidence booster going to Dublin, who would be obviously, you know, one of the top teams.
Walking into the Kerry dressing room, Pat, in the early days, you were coming out of the Croke dressing room from a club into county. You were facing some of the greatest players. This particular team will go down in history as maybe one of the all-time great Kerry teams since they started, and now you've continued on the work. How daunting was it for you? Had you any doubt in your mind at any stage whatsoever, Christ, what have I landed myself in here? Because there's no doubt at all about it. How did you find bridging the gap with the players?
Well, again, I didn't really feel that was a problem, you know. I knew a lot of the lads, you know, to be honest about it, you know, from, you know, being involved with, you know, different groups up along and knowing the lads personally. And, you know, obviously everybody's different, you know. Now I've been involved in this, you know, in coaching and involved in games and different teams all my life. So, you know, the most important thing for me was that I was going in there from the point of view of that I wanted to be as successful as they wanted to be. I wasn't coming in to change anything. I had no ego problem. I had no, you know, I was carrying no baggage. I literally came in with the same, you know, ambitions as the players, you know, with the same goals that I wanted the team to be successful, and mainly for the team, you know. I mean, you know, I have a saying that, you know, players win championships and managements lose them, like, and that's, you know, that's the way the GA works, and that's rightly so. Players get the plaudits, and rightly so, because when they go inside and they make the effort, they deserve to get all the accolades that go with it. And, you know, at times teams lose. I mean, you know, it's managements that deal with it. And that's okay as well. I mean, that's what we're in the business for. So there's nothing wrong with that either. So when I went in, I literally just wanted the players to do as well as they could. I mean, I think that there are, you know, a group of players who obviously have been successful, you know, and in some respects possibly don't have got the same respect maybe outside of the county as maybe they have inside the county. And, you know, to go to 4 All-Irelands in a row is a huge, huge accolade that they should be proud of. But I mean, obviously, the next step is the biggest, and I mean, that's, you know, that's where the year was all about. Really, was getting back to this stage and maybe having one more shot at going back to back.
Many people would have wondered, Pat, and I must say that myself, I wondered myself about players and the type of tiredness that might creep into them, and some of them had a good bit of mileage up. How did you balance the act in the line of? I know you've trained very hard. I've been watching you training all the year. What decision did you make in relation to the type of training you were going to do with the squad? Very hard, or were you going to balance the act and take it easy because some of them had a lot of mileage up? How did you balance that act?
Yeah, I mean, that was the hardest, really. And I mean, to be fair to John Shukru, I mean, John has come in and, you know, John has done a tremendous job, you know. He has really done a tremendous job with the lads. And, you know, he's had the lads in excellent shape for all the games. You know, and there was different times. That was the hardest thing about anything, is to try and get the balance right between the freshness and trying to get the physical fitness up. And, you know, to be fair to most of the players, they know their own bodies very, very well as well, and they are experienced enough to be able to control themselves. But the key was the freshness, and I think the whole panel has contributed to that. Our training sessions have been fairly, you know, intense at times, and I mean, we've played so many players at different times in the year, and even through the championship, I think we've made changes for possibly all the games, bar the Waterford to the Cork game. So, you know, we have freshened things up when it's needed to be, and I think that has given people an idea that you can't kind of rest on your own laurels, and you have to keep fighting, and you have to keep working it so that you can kind of be better than you were in the last game. And I think, from our point of view, you know, we try to freshen things up by, I suppose, having just a fresh approach of training, you know, making it more competitive, making it intense at times, but more than anything else, making it competitive so that everybody felt that they were part of it.
And it worked out absolutely perfectly because the team, oh yes, and the 6 weeks in, there was an awful lot of talk about the 6 weeks between the Munster final and between the Monaghan game, and everybody would understand it. That must have been a difficult time, or was it a difficult time for you and the lads to keep the team motivated, keep them going, keep them at a pitch, because nearly at the end of the day, you were nearly caught.
Yeah, and it's a fair point. And I mean, you know, the 6 weeks, I mean, it's hard to know how any break is going to affect the team. And, you know, to be fair, what actually happened to us at that period is the first 2 weeks were given back to the clubs in the championship and divisional sides for the county championship. And we played as such, you know, two rounds. There was 2 weeks gone there. So we left with 4 weeks. And we came back in and we worked a fine week. And actually, we had two excellent weeks of training, really. We did a little bit of hard work in the training. Physically, we kind of felt that was our only window of opportunity of doing a bit of extra physical work that might benefit us maybe later in the year. So we took that opportunity. And also, our football, actually, at that time in training was particularly good. And then the draw was made. And we had 2 weeks to prepare. And, you know, we'd drawn Monaghan. And obviously, we felt that Monaghan were, you know, going to be a very difficult side. We looked at their games, and they had kind of adapted a very much similar Tyrone side style of play, which was a lot of people behind the ball. They were very intense and difficult in the tackle. They got people behind the ball, and then they kind of went route one with the ball when they got to halfway, and they isolated people inside, and they had some quick forwards. So we felt we had to prepare like that, and we changed training slightly in how we would maybe defend against that and how we would attack and break it down. And to be fair, that was quite difficult at training then. It made training more difficult, and it was tough for them a couple of weeks. But we felt, looking back on it, that it helped us because we were more prepared going in. Now, what it did negatively was it took us away from what we were doing well at that particular time, which was our fluency in our play. Now, I'm not sure whether we would have had the fluency. We would have been able to play with the fluency against Monaghan anyway. But I think it took that part away from our training that we were doing. Now, after the Monaghan game and when we were playing Dublin, we always felt that it was going to be a different game, and we felt that maybe a little bit of fluency might come back into our play. And you know, it showed glimpses the last day, and hopefully we might be able to get an opportunity to work on that in the next couple of weeks as well.
Is it a failing now, Pat? Or put it, is it to win a Munster Championship now? Would you be better off not to win it? I know it isn't. It is you can't come along and say I'd rather lose the Munster final, but the person that loses really is coming out the best at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, look, you definitely don't want to lose a Munster final, and nobody ever wants to do that, and you can't go out and nobody ever wants to lose a match, whether it's an under-12 match up to a Munster final. Cork lost the Munster Championship this year. Now, they got lucky as such, you know, we'd say in their draws that they got possibly teams that they were well better than, like, and you know, I mean, you still didn't want to get in there and get an opportunity to meet the Mayos and go to Castlebar or go have to up to Derry or possibly meet Armagh, who were still in it at that particular stage. You know, that maybe there was teams that you didn't want to meet. And to be fair, I suppose for Cork, you know, they got some fortunate draws. I mean, they're still an exceptionally good team, but I mean, it helped them along the way. I mean, if they had got maybe, you know, if they got Meath earlier, if they got maybe, you know, Galway earlier or Leash, you know, maybe that would have been a difficult game, and they probably wouldn't have liked to go through the back door at that particular time. So I'm only just making a point about weighing up whether you want to win a Munster Championship, which everybody does, or go in the back door. I mean, you know, in some ways it's sort of carried the year before, but I mean, possibly because, you know, maybe they got long for that home rather than anything else, you know. So I think winning is a habit. I think you like to do it, and I don't think you want to change it too much.
Turning to yourself, watching you when you were training, in particular training the Crawl Show, and I mentioned this to you before, you were always a very demonstrative kind of fella, very vocal. I've seen you jumping up and down the line. I even seen you taking off your cap and throwing it in the ground and stamping at it and shouting at referees and things like that. And when you took over, I particularly watched you with Kerry, and I said, how's he going to tame himself here, because he's in a different scenario? But you have tamed yourself completely. You stand down Croke Park, you have your arms folded, and you're very cool, calm and collected. Did you set out to change yourself? Did you know that things would have to change?
Well, I think that, like, I think the last time we spoke, I spoke about, you know, club and the emotion that's involved, and there's, you know, there's a uniqueness in the club, and I mean, I suppose people grow up in it, and that's why maybe the passions run a little bit higher. Now in the county, it's exactly the same, but I think, you know, you don't influence the game, or you never influence the game, but you feel anyway at inter-county level with such a big crowd, and you know, that it's pointless. You know, it's a waste of energy, you know, to be, you know, demonstrating to the referee or to anybody else, or to be, you know, wasting your energy on anything else but focusing on trying to get your team to perform and making changes and making decisions that'll affect your team and help your team. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to actually waste all that energy on that. So, and again, obviously, look, the most important thing is you're dealing with in what I would consider some of the best footballers in the country, and I made that fact from day one, like, that these guys are, and they don't need anybody to be, you know, running up and down the sideline or to be, you know, shouting and roaring at them, you know, because they have been around there far more than I have, and they know what's expected and they know what is wanted on particular times. So for us, it was important that we could look at the game with a cool head and maybe make decisions from that point of view. But things were always going to change, and I suppose for the better maybe.
Well, when I asked you about up and down the line and giving a few shouts, I'd be in particular thinking about referees. Without mentioning any particular referee, we're not going to single out anybody. What has your experience been during the year at inter-county level in relation to referees? And would I be right or wrong in saying that there's a lot of yellow cards being flashed unnecessary? On a general opinion there, Pat.
Yeah, I suppose. I remember going to Croke Park for one of the launches at Bank of Ireland or whatever, and you know, that was that question was asked about referees, and I we spoke about consistency and you know of refereeing, and I think, you know, that is probably the issue really. Like you know that you know yellow cards get branded around for one yellow card, it's probably not a, you know a yellow card offence, and then for other ones it could be a red card offence. And I mean the difference really is that it's trying to get the balance right. And if referees, I suppose, you know, maybe had a little bit more consistency in their play. I think that would kind of help everybody. Because in fairness to the players, the majority of the players these days, in my opinion, they go out to play the ball. I mean, 99% of the time, you know, there is the odd time that there might be a little bit of jostling off the ball or there might be a little bit of verbals or whatever. But in general, I think the game is far cleaner than it was 20 years ago. I mean, I think that, you know, it's still a tough, very intense and very aggressive game. But I think the majority of players go out and play the game because I think the implications now for not playing the ball are huge. I think that if a player gets sent off, no, it's a severe drawback to his team. And I think that from a personal point of view and from a team point of view, it just doesn't help anybody. And, you know, I mean, early on the year, we were affected in the first couple of National League matches, like where, you know, we had players sent off. And, you know, it was a number of issues, really. It was some refereeing decisions that weren't great on top of maybe some of our decisions from individual players that weren't great. And, you know, we had to learn from that as well. But I think referees go out there and do a job. I mean, if I had my own personal opinion, they would be the first people that would be paying the GAA.
You would know far better than me that the Kerry supporter, the general Kerry supporter, not alone in Kerry, but in Ireland and all over the world, they keep a very close eye on what's happening and they know their football probably better than anybody that you'll ever meet anywhere. How have you found the Kerry supporter, Pat? And I have no doubt they have been writing to you, they have been contacting you, they have been giving you advice because they are all keeping their eyes focused on you. You're up there now. How have you found Kerry supporters all over the world? I'd put it to you like that now. Because would I be right in saying from all over the world?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think, as I said from day one, like I think the Kerry supporters are great. Genuinely, I do. And I mean, I say that, you know, my hand in my heart, because I think they're passionate about the county. They always have been. I mean, you know, and they always want the team to do well. So, I mean, their opinions and their advice come from years of experience and from, you know, really, you know, wanting the team to perform to the best of their ability. And if they feel that the team isn't, you know, they'll let people know and they'll tell people and they will, you know, make their feelings known that they're not happy with the way we're performing as a team or as individuals. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think our support last Sunday against Dublin in the All-Ireland semi-final was incredible for the percentage of crowd that we had. They made themselves very vocal and they got really behind the team. And it was very evident from the players' point of view who spoke about it after in the dressing room to the management that we felt that it was, you know, the support was huge last Sunday. And I think Kerry supporters, when I meet them here on the street or whether I you know, get phone calls or, you know, get letters or whatever, it's all very positive. And as I said, I mean, if people had something to say that was negative to me, I wouldn't take it as a slight or I wouldn't take it as, you know, as a criticism, you know, personally to me. I take it as that they want the team to perform better and they're looking to give their little bit of advice on it. And there's nothing wrong with that. Everybody's entitled to that. We're all supporters at the end of the day.
Was there nights before big games that Pat O'Shea didn't sleep? Was there nights that you'd toss and turn and you'd be throwing teams around in your mind? I know that goes for every trainer, whether you're club or county.
There was earlier in the year, I suppose, more than anything else. I mean, as it got into, I suppose, the more the championship stuff, you know, once we kind of got into the run of things, we were kind of okay. And I'm surprised myself that, you know, prior to games, I would normally be fairly restless, but I found myself not too bad, you know, to be honest about it. Maybe not as bad as what I thought I would be like, you know.
Yeah, you have a big backup team, of course, and I know that you have great physios and all, and your medical team. They had a big decision to make about Dara O'Shea in the Dublin game. They had to decide whether he went on or whether he didn't go on. Your backup team is very important to you, and you have great people there, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, starting off with Sean and Dr. Dave, I mean, the lads, you know, are excellent. You know, they're great footballing brains and, you know, they bring different aspects to the game. Sean is very, you know, enthusiastic and bubbly and, you know, he's got a great idea of the game and obviously has been involved with a lot of these lads up along as well. And, you know, he's got, you know, he makes, you know, he's good ideas about where the game should be going, how we should be preparing and stuff like that. And, you know, Dave has obviously has the experience part of things and he's been around there, you know, in Kerry dressing rooms for many years. So he brings huge experience to it, and there's a good balance to our kind of conversations, I suppose, about teams. You know, Jan Shukra, as I was outlined already, I think has done a tremendous job. And, you know, people probably question, you know, Jan's situation at the start of the year, and he was such a young player and still playing. And, you know, but, you know, Jan has been excellent, to be honest about it. I mean, he's brought some fresh ideas in, and he's dealt with the players, you know, very one-to-one a lot of the time. And, you know, his sessions have been varied, and they've been good fun, and they've also got the job done from our point of view. And, I mean, he's done a tremendous job. But, I mean, obviously, Dan O'Sullivan and Harry do the rubs above, and they do a super job as well. And, you know, they've been doing that for the last number of years. We brought in two new physios this year, Megan and Tara, and to be fair to the girls, they have helped enormously to get the lads back on the field. And, you know, thankfully we've had a few injuries at the start of the year, but a lot of them cleared up and we were back in board again. And, you know, then you have Vince Lennon and Niall O'Callaghan, Niall Batty here in town, and in fairness to Batty, he does basically anything that you want done. And, you know, he does a lot of the unsung work with regards getting stuff, making sure that everybody's happy is what he does. And he has a nice way of doing that, and he helps enormously around the team as well and around the dressing room.
Now, Pat, how have you dealt with the media? How have you found the media since you took over? Have you been inundated? And, in particular, how are you going to deal with the media in the run-up to the All-Ireland, you particular, and how are you going to let the players deal with the media? How far can they go, as the fellas says?
Yeah, well, first of all, I mean, we all need to recognise that the media, you know, have their job to do. And for us people in management or in teams, we have a responsibility to the media. And, you know, I've always said that you know, if there are certain things that we need to do with regards to interviews, meetings, you know, reports or whatever, then we have to be able to be available for that. As it comes up, we haven't changed. We haven't spoke about blanket bans on media at all during the year, and we won't be doing that either for the rest of the next couple of weeks anyway. You know, we have a press night coming up, and obviously the players are going to be available, and the hope is that all the players will be available for that night, and that you know, they'll be available for any of the media to ask them whatever questions they want to. Obviously, we have some younger players, and, you know, ideally I'd prefer if the lads could just kind of maybe, you know, concentrate on playing their games and not get too carried away with regards to the hype that probably will surround the game coming up. But because the most important thing for us is their performance on the day is crucial. So, you know, we'll try and get it balanced right. We're going to let the players, you know, be available to the media and to deal with them. And then obviously we'll try and get, we'll try and shield maybe some of the players away from too much of it.
Staying with the media, and I must ask you this particular question, and one of the big talking points after the Dublin game was Liam Hayes' article in relation to Kerry football. I found it a scurrilous article, I must say, and tell you the truth myself. I couldn't believe what he wrote. I thought the man was away off the wall altogether. I thought he was having a bit of a joke, really. But Sean Welch, the chairman of the County Board, has gone on record publicly saying that it was quoted in the dressing room the last day at half-time in relation to the way he had undermined Kerry football. What did you make of what he said?
Well, first of all, I mean, everybody's entitled to their opinion. And I mean, you know, Liam Hayes obviously wrote the article. You know, we would have all disagreed totally with the article, of course. And we felt it was, you know, it was a major slight on Kerry football. And, you know, there was no basis to an awful lot of the stuff that was said inside the article. But in saying that, the one thing I've said from the year is that if we can't control something inside no dressing room, it's not going to affect us because we've got no control over it. So, you know, I mean, that was an article that was written. We had no contribution to make that, you know, and all we had to do was concentrate on what we had to do. It was mentioned slightly at halftime. It wasn't in major detail. It was mentioned slightly that this was a slight on Kerry football, and that we were upholding Kerry football at that particular time, you know, and we had 35 minutes to give Kerry supporters and Kerry people all over the world an opportunity to say, you know, thanks to the lads, you know, for doing this for Kerry football, and that's what it was about. And, you know, it wasn't overdone either, to be honest about it. And, you know, but more so than anything else, it was in the aftermath of the game that I think people, you know, found the article more repulsive than anything else. And, I mean, if the result had gone differently last Sunday, then I suppose Kerry people probably would have not made, you know, too much of the article and probably went away and probably just, you know, concentrated on next year. But because we had won last Sunday, I think people felt that, look, something needed to be said, that this wasn't right. You know, I mean, I don't think it would ever be said about Kilkenny hurling, or it would ever be said about Cork hurling in the same light, that was written about Kerry football over the last 20 years, and some of the players like Seamus Mynan and Morris Fitzgerald, you know, who have, you know, be iconic figures in whatever era they will ever play. And I know there was other players mentioned, but, you know, there was no basis to it. It was disrespectful to Kerry people. And, you know, I suppose for Kerry people, they do their talking on the football field, and last Sunday we get an opportunity to do our talking there.
You did indeed, and you spoke out loud and clear. It's amazing, Pat. GAA is amazing, and Kerry is amazing. You beat Waterford, you beat Cork, you beat Man, and you beat Dublin, and then at the end of it all, you're back to the All-Ireland Munster final again. That's what they're referring to, it is. And next thing, Cork are there before you. You think you've everything done with Dublin, and you think that you're going to enjoy the final, but I don't think there's going to be that enjoyable running up to it. Facing Cork now is a huge obstacle.
Huge obstacle, you know. Funnily enough, I spoke in the Cork dressing room after the Munster final, and I said that I genuinely think our paths will probably cross again during the year, and, you know, it's come to pass. Cork are a huge team. They have improved considerably since the Munster final. I think, to be fair now, the games that they've had in the qualifiers have helped them. You know, and obviously Meath had been doing very, very well and taking some big scalps, and in the manner in which Cork dismantled Meath was exceptional, to be fair. I mean, we know that they have good forwards, but defensively they're excellent. And I think they showed against Meath that midfield they can win a pile of ball. And that's something that, you know, is going to be a big worry for us. That, you know, they are a good side. They are going to have no fears about Kerry, because both teams know each other very, very well. I think we may have played each other something like 8 times in the last, you know, 3 years. And I think anytime you play people that often, you know you're going to get to know each other very, very well. And I think from that point of view, it's going to be a unique game, because there probably won't be a whole pile between the teams at the end.
I know very well, Pat, you've no notion of telling me what type of football you're going to play in the All-Ireland final or what kind of a team you're going to bring out. I'd imagine it'll be the same 15. Can we expect a very close game? Can we expect a swarming game? Will we expect it doesn't look like there's going to be a great All-Ireland final. Really, with these two old rivals meeting, putting on the Pat O'Shea hat now, taking off the Kerry hat now for a minute, what kind of a game can we expect, would you think?
Yeah, I think it still will be an open match. I think it'll be an open match. Now, there may be, it'll be intense and it'll be aggressive. I'm assuming that it'll be part of the course. But I think, in general, I think that it'll be, I think it'll be an open match. I don't think any of the two teams go in for swarming too much, and I don't think, you know, it'll have anything like that. I think it'll be open enough. I think in the last couple of games that Kerry have played against Cork, you know, I think it has been open enough, and I think it's come down to football. I mean, there's been the odd incidents of where maybe there was a bit of indiscipline in different games, but in general, I mean, you know, there would be a healthy rivalry, there would be a lot of respect, and it would be intense. I think it'll be open. I think it'll be tough, and I think it'll be hard. I think it'll be close. I think it'll be close, and, you know, I think, there won't be a whole pile between, and at the end of the day, maybe even a low-scoring game.
You'll be touching shoulders with Billy Morgan, an iconic figure in football. Whether you love him or whether you hate him, we all have our faults, but an iconic figure. I saw up there with Mick O'Dwyer, I suppose. There's no doubt at all about it. I suppose he'd be one of the greatest Cork GAA people of all time. What do you think of Billy Morgan?
I'd have great respect for Billy, genuinely. I mean, from a club basis in Nemo Rangers and what he had done for them from the early 70s, I suppose late 60s, to where they are. And I mean, I think that, you know, he has shown that he is, first of all, a fantastic coach and probably one of the better coaches ever in the game, you know. And, you know, and he, of course, he wears his heart on his sleeve, and he's very emotional, and he's very proud of where he comes from, and just like us all. I mean, you know, he's a bit more maybe emotional on the line than most people are, and he's a bit outspoken after games, and you know, and that adds to the spice of it. But at the end of the day, I mean, Billy Morgan is a great chairman. You know, wherever he goes, he's a great chairman. He respects people that play the GAA and that are part of the association. You know, he wants to win more than anybody else, like us all. And, you know, as I said, I would have the ultimate respect for him. It'll be a good game on Sunday. And as I said, I would hope that we'll be fine on the sideline.
The last time we spoke, Pat, coming to the end of this interview now, we spoke about Dr. Eamon O'Sullivan, your great club man who trained Kerry to win 8 All-Irelands, and you very kindly gave me an interview for the book, which has been published since Dr. Eamon O'Sullivan, a man before his time. You're the first Cork man since Dr. Eamon in 64 to lead the Kerry team into the All-Ireland final. Are you are conscious of that?
I am probably more conscious about it since the book came out, to be fair with Shane, and since I spoke to you last. And, you know, obviously it's something that you'd be, you know, very proud of. But, I mean, from the club point of view, it's always great because, you know, I'm following the footsteps of people like Dr. Raymond, you know, from my club point of view, you know, it's huge. But, I mean, like as I said from the start of the year, I mean, we're here to do a job and our job is not done yet. And we have a lot of work to do in the next couple of weeks. And, you know, after that, I mean, you know, hopefully we'll be able to sit back. But, you know, we have to work hard and look forward to the Cork game. And, you know, I mean, everything up to now has kind of, you know, gone to what we expected it would be. You know, I mean, tough, hard games. It's been a tough championship. You know, we've been lucky a lot of times, you know, during the year, probably more so than a lot of other Kerry teams in the past. So, I mean, we're doing it the hard way in some respects. But, you know, hopefully, I mean, as I said, I mean, it would be great. Dr. Raymond was an iconic figure as well. And I mean, you know, I spoke to you before about, you know, following in the footsteps from a club point of view and how proud I was to do that. And that hasn't changed.
Very briefly, a few words about yourself, Pat. What's your earliest memories of growing up with football? Was there always a ball with you? There must have been, because you were always a great ball handler.
Yeah, there was. I mean, where we grew up, so close to the park above in the stadium is the park as we all knew it. And, you know, I remember getting footballs over from Jackie Looney and going up when, you know, balls weren't really that. I remember myself and my brother playing outside in the garden at home. And your great friend and Dan O'Keefe, Lord of Mercy, who used to pass up. And he'd always have a word about the Legion and the Crokes, and he'd stop and he'd talk for a while. And that was when we were very, very young. And, you know, obviously we grew up a lot in the stadium. And, you know, even when, I suppose, you know, people don't realise, like, that the gates were wide open at that particular time. The only thing that was running around at that stage were the sheep above the hill, like, you know, keeping the grass cut. And, you know, we played above there for most of our summers in particular. And, you know, I mean, it was it was a great place. Killarney was a great place at the time, you know, and it was great to grow up there. And, you know, I was saying the last day, my first All-Ireland was 78. I went with my mother to the match in the first All-Ireland final was 1978. And that was a great day, obviously, for Kerry. Like, you know, I got to the 75 All-Ireland 21 final in Tipperary Town. But obviously, enough finals, that was the first one. And, you know, I mean, they were great memories. I mean, the GAA is a fantastic organisation. And, I mean, you know, I just don't think it gets the same recognition socially for what it keeps people away from all the wrongs and all that. It disciplines people. I mean, I wonder where an awful lot of people would be if they didn't have the GAA. I mean, I genuinely do. I mean, I look at my own parents. I look at what it, you know, the GAA, the influence it has had in their life. I look at my own kids and knowing what they are growing up into. And I look around at so many clubs and so many people that go to games on a regular basis. And you meet them and you see them, and it's what keeps their lives going, really, in my opinion. And I think the association is fantastic like that.
I have bad memories of you above in the small pitch in Fitzgerald Stadium, of course, playing against Legion in underage finals, and great memories for you, of course. But your memories of the small pitch, a lot of people walk through that pitch, Pat, they're going in watching Kerry teams training, watching matches now, but the small pitch, that must have tremendous memories for you, because there were some great players played there, some great players came out of that little pitch.
It was great. And I mean, again, it was shared by both the Crokes and Legion at the time, because we didn't have our own places at that particular time. And, you know, it was great. I mean, the games, I mean, they were fantastic games. And it was great for everything. We trained above there. We played above there. We, you know, even before big games, there was matches, young fellas matches being played in behind there. But it was good and bad memories as well for me, because we played the 76 under 12 East Kerry final above there against Crokes and Legion. And there was a huge crowd above there, and a neighbour, I'd say, of yours, Wishy, and a good friend of ours, Timmy Keogh, you know, he got a heart attack and he died above the Lord of Mercy in his soul. And, you know, both his sons were playing, great friends of mine, Frank and Timmy were both with us at the time, and the game was abandoned. I remember Johnny and maybe even yourself were above there at that time.
Well, actually, Johnny called it myself, tried to revive him. We were standing alongside him.
Yeah. That's right.
And I remember it, and we walked into the dressing room inside after, and, you know, I mean, we were only young fellas at the time, and the replay actually was, if my memory was right, the replay was the first under-12 game ever to be played in the big pitch. And, I mean, again, I suppose it had great memories, but it also had memories that, you know, were not so great. But I think it showed, and I remember going inside to the dressing room on that night and, you know, hearing of yourself and Johnny, you know, reviving him. And I suppose, again, it brought home what the GAA really means, and that the game is only a game. And, you know, when we're out there, you know, we want to try and win. But, you know, you know, it's put in perspective as well, and I think that was a night for that.
It was indeed. I won't tell you much longer. Did you play hurling with Kerry?
I did. I played a lot of the hurling when I was a young fella. There was no club here, so I played down in Kinmare, actually. I played under 14, under 16, and minor down there. And I did. I played minor under 21, and I played one or two games with Kerry seniors in goal, but they were quite dis. But I enjoyed it. I love hurling, and I mean, I really enjoyed it. But Shawnee was the hurler more than anything else.
Was the basketball then it was your other game, and you played a lot of basketball. Did you play with Ireland?
I did. I mean, at different times. I mean, the basketball was played at a different season in the year, which, you know, like yourself, like everybody in Killarney, I mean, we all played basketball and football and whatever else was played. So the football was played, I suppose, it had a defined season more so back then, and the basketball kind of kicked in, and after that, and I loved basketball and I loved the games, and it gave me a release. If things weren't going well in the football field, you could kind of turn your hand at the basketball and play away. But I did. I mean, I played basketball, and you know, we were fortunate enough here. I went to the States playing with an Irish team at under 15, I'd say, in 82, and Timmy Maloney here from Killarney as well. Timmy went up with me as well at that time, and that kind of gave us a start, because it gave us a chance to see what I suppose was happening. You know, it was obviously basketball was an American game, and we were going over to have a look at what they were doing. So after that, I mean, obviously I played basketball and I loved basketball, and even to the day I enjoy playing basketball, and if I get a chance to go up and play with my own kids or even play with a few of my friends, I'd love doing it.
What would be your pastimes, Pat?
To be honest about it, I suppose I don't have a whole pile. I mean, like, I play a little bit of golf. I mean, when very little, to be honest about it, when I have time. I mean, I like golf. I like playing sports. I like competitive sports because, they do bring it out. I mean, kids are really what it's all about. I mean, the four kids at home, I mean, they're at an age of where they're involved. I mean, I'm either watching them play and bringing them to training, or, you know, they play different games as well. And, you know, and then you're trying to spend a little bit of time at home as much as you can. You know, they give out to me that I don't spend enough time at home. But, I mean, you know, I try and get home as much as I can as well. And I think that's most important. I mean, you know, I like Killarney. I love Killarney. I like Killarney as, you know, growing up. And it was a great place. I think the surroundings of Killarney are great. I think the different parts of Killarney, I like to go and walk. And, you know, when it's comes into the autumn time, you know, I think it's a lovely place. I think it changes, and I think it's nice. It gets a bit quieter, which is nice for us all.
Finally, the very finally, and I must mention this, Joe, clashes with the Legion and the Crokes. I often stood in the line and saw you getting a late goal to beat the Legion. Or maybe we got a late goal one time to beat G, of course. I was coaching our own crowd the same year. But just talking locally, Pat, the Legion and the Crokes, great rivalry there. You're well on top at the moment, things like that. But great rivalry, a great... A healthy rivalry, in my view.
I would definitely agree. And I think, you know, I mean, there's always been great games between the Crokes and Legion. And rivalry is fantastic. Rivalry keeps us all going. Again, it's part of the GA, like, you know, parishes. But I suppose Killarney is unique in so many ways, in that, you know, you had brothers playing against brothers. You had next-door neighbours playing against next-door neighbours. You had cousins, you had friends, guys going to school that were playing each other. And I suppose that brought a different kind of era to it too, like, you know. And I mean, for us... I mean, I would have great respect for Legion because, again, from our point of view, they had, you know, great players, you know, great people involved, you know, a great club, a proud tradition, great history. And, you know, I mean, you know, from our own point of view, you know, it's great that there is a healthy rivalry. It's great that there is a healthy respect between the clubs. I mean, and, you know, I mean, it never, ever got out of hand to the extent of where, you know, it was very bitter. I mean, there was always a respect, you know, there was always a respect there. And I think... you know, that's what it's all about. I think if we can teach our kids growing up that's what it's about, and that, you know, we're the envy. I've heard Americans, I've heard English people, and I've coming over to watch our games, and they're amazed that there's no segregation. The people come to our games and they watch our games and they sit with the rival supporters, and there's not an issue. And I think, you know, when we come down to the parochialism of local communities and towns, you know, that should be very much, you know, to the fore as well, because we're playing the game for the love of it. We're keeping the sport alive for the love of it. And it's healthy that both teams, you know, continue to strive to develop their facilities and their clubs, because that's what's happening at the moment here in Killarney, and I presume everywhere else around the country as well.
Well, Pat, I want to thank you sincerely for taking time out of a very busy schedule to talk to me. You're very obliging. And I have no doubt that Mort and Bridie are going to Well, I'm not going to say they're going to enjoy the final, but they're going to enjoy the whole experience anyway. And all I can say to you is, on behalf of everybody in Kerry, on behalf of Kerry supporters all over the world, thank you for you and your team and everyone behind it, the work that you're putting in. And I hope that you go on and you break Dr. Eamon's record, and not alone win 8 All-Irelands, but win 9 All-Irelands. And maybe so, Pat, thanks for talking to me.
No problem. Wishing you very welcome.
Martin, of course, you won an All-Ireland with Pat, and you soldiered with him on the sideline with the Crokes in All-Ireland final, so you'd know him, even though you're a Corkman, you'd know him more than anybody.
I do, Isha. I'm outside of playing and being selected, but I'm good friends with Pat anyway. But I have, I've played with him. I joined the Crokes in about 1987 or 88, and I from the time I was playing with the Crokes, I was playing with Pat, and he was one of the better forwards in the team all the way right through to the All-Ireland final in 92. And I mean, we were lucky enough to win the All-Ireland that year, and Pat was outstanding in that final, as he had been in most games.
How good a forward was he? Talk to me about him, Matt.
Well, I mean, he was, as regards his size, he was quite light, and he's still the very same today as he was when he was playing. But he had a great head, very very sharp. He was very smart on the ball.
Good vision,
very very good. So, and he was a fella that, even though he was nearly always picked corner forward, he never stayed there. He drifted around. He got himself involved in the play, got on the old ball, gave quick passes, linked the play. He was a great link player. And, of course, in a tight situation in that year, going back to 92, the start of that season, which would have been 91, actually, the county championship, I remember well behind, and we played Dingle in Dingle. And we were to the pin of our collar, right down the stretch, game almost over. And I remember Pat, he won a ball on the inline, practically on the inline, and he almost ran it up the inline and buried it into the back of the net, and the rest is history after that. But that was...
West Kerry, in Dingle.
And he got a great goal, and that started the ball rolling for us, and yeah. We went on to win it out that year afterwards.
Martin, he always gave me the impression when he was playing of directing operations for the whole team when he was playing.
He does, yeah. He's like that anyway, you know, no matter what he's involved in, he likes to be kind of the centre of it. He's a good talker, as you know. He's got a great head. I mean, he's steeped in football as regards coaching and stuff. He's quite good at it. He can get his point across very easily without any shouting or roaring. And he has a lot of respect from players and that. But you're right, he did. He was always involved, so he was always on the ball. He always wanted to be on the ball. And a bit like Colm Cooper in one sense, in the fact that he could give you a pass and he could almost tell you where to put the next pass, because he had that bit of vision, as you said earlier there, that he could see a fella in a position. Well, lots of other fellas mightn't see him straight away, but he had that kind of, I don't know what it was, he had that kind of a third eye, and he could see that pass before it was even being made, like, you know.
What kind of a temperament had he, we'd say now, in another and final playing, and maybe in the big county championship game in the dressing room? Temperamentally, what was he, cool, calm and collected?
He was always cool and full of confidence. Confidence was the big thing. He always had loads of confidence. He always reckoned that he was the best at everything he did, and that he was better than anybody, and he always transferred that on to when he was playing himself. He was the very same. He reckoned that he was good enough to beat anybody that he was marking, and more times than not, he did, like, you know. And I mean, I'm sure there was many a cornerback that faced him up and thought they were going to have a handy time marking him. But you'd get a fair roasting from Pat if you thought that going in against him. But he supreme confidence, and he has it as well as the coach of Kerry, you know. And I mean, it is important to have a certain amount of it, but he has it in abundance. But he could back it up as a player, and he's proved that he can back it up as a manager as well.
Now, you work with him on the sideline, of course, for a good number of years, and he went to an All Ireland final. What was he like then to work with as a coach and as a manager and as a selector?
He was excellent, Rishi. I learned so much from Pat, and from Eddie as well, in fairness, from Eddie Tatler. But I mean, Pat is Pat eats, sleeps and drinks football. Simple as that. I mean, it makes no difference. I speak to him a lot. We talk regularly, we meet. But it is always about football we talk, and, you know, and hurling and stuff as well. But about Gaelic football, and he loves it. He just his life, really. But he's very, very astute, you know. He sizes up everything. He looks at videos. He talks to other coaches around the country. He's meeting anyone in his job, you know. And he picks up something from everybody all the time, and he tries to bring that in, and he tries to transfer it onto his own team, or maybe his own, whether it be under 12s or be with the Kerry senior team. He's looking for something new all the time, and if he picks it up, he'll work on it. He'll work on it in training. He'll work on it behind the scenes, maybe in a meeting. He was a great man to speak at a meeting as well before a match. It wouldn't be that long, but whatever he said was worth listening to, you know, and players seem to respect that as well, you know.
What was his philosophy as a coach when he was directing operations with the Crokes in the line of the football he played?
Well, I mean, what he often said, and I mean, I'm sure that he'd say it all, and he reckoned that the Crokes were the best team in the world. As far as he was concerned, they were the best team in the world, and he transferred that. He tried to transfer that onto every one of his players. And I mean, basically, if you didn't believe him in the start of the year, you'd certainly believe him before the end of the year, because he kept saying it. He kept saying, we're the best team, we have the best players, we've just got to go out and prove it. We're all good at playing football. So his philosophy was that, you know, like I said about him earlier on, ultimate confidence, fierce belief in his own ability, in his players' ability. And I mean, he's lucky now, being in charge of Kerry, that he has the kind of a panel of players that he has outside of the 15 that are starting, like, you know. So, I mean, I said it earlier on, and his confidence is supreme, you know. He in everything he does, like, I mean, if we played the odd game of golf there, and if he was playing golf for them, he'd be very good at that as well. He's confidence in you, saw him playing basketball, which you know him. I mean, everything is confidence with Pat. I know you can be overconfident at times, but he transfers this onto even average players. He can get the very best out of an average club player. Now I'm talking, I know him more about in club than in county, but he can get the very best out of an ordinary Joe Soap, whereas maybe other managers mightn't, you know. He's that kind of a talent about him, you know.
His philosophy in men on the ball all the time. He'd never preach negative stuff, would he?
Absolutely not, no. It's all about you having the ball. And once you have the ball, you can control the game from there. And I mean, it's fairly simple, you know, that if you have the ball, you have a chance. But it's all about, he loves being on the ball, you being on the ball, everybody moving together, everybody working for each other, whether you're a back or a forward, you have to work, link in all the time, take the pass, give the pass, see the pass that's coming or whatever, anticipation, all that kind of stuff. He preaches all that stuff time and time again. And I see him there even Saturday mornings, even last Saturday morning, last Monday morning, the Crokes had a coaching camp. He was after playing Dublin in a huge game the day before. He was above on the Crokes pitch at 9:30 that morning, organising the camp, just making sure that everything was overseeing it. That's the kind of a guy he is like. I mean, he loves being around guys from the time they're 6 till the time they're going up receiving Ireland medals above in Croke Park. And I mean, there's not much more you can say about him. He loves it like.
How ruthless is he behind it all then? He has to be somewhere cold and clinical in the line of dropping fellas and keeping discipline. How's he in disciplining?
Excellent. And we had a few little examples over the 3 years that we were involved with the club team, you know, with the Crokes. And he was, I mean, basically we worked as a team, but I mean, ultimately Pat had the final say if it came to it, you know. And I mean, we didn't have to really just drop anybody, but there was a few times we had to, maybe, you know, there was little problems with players, maybe something happened outside of the field or whatever. Yeah, I saw him dealing with a few guys now, senior players now in our own club, you know, well-established players. And in a very nice, mild-mannered, but the point was got across. And I would say that at county level, I'd say he wouldn't have any problem dealing with any one of the so-called stars in the Kerry team, I'd say, from Dermot Murphy right up to the corner forward on the other side. I'd say he wouldn't have any problem whatsoever. I would say he'd be quite good at it, actually.
Were you surprised when you heard that he was after being appointed Kerry manager?
No, I wasn't. I mean, and we spoke about it a little bit. I mean, I'm sure he spoke to other people about it, but it was the job that, I mean, when he was offered it, he had to take it, because it was the ultimate job for Pat. I mean, he can't go any higher in this county than managing his county team. And I mean, it is his first year at it. I mean, he's in an All-Ireland final. He's playing his Cork in All-Ireland final, first time ever. So he's making history in that sense anyway, you know. No, it was the job that he wanted. Well, no, it was the job when he was offered. I'm sure that he wanted it, you know. And I mean, he had a lot of consideration, because he's a young family as well and stuff like that. But no, I don't think he ever really had a doubt. I mean, I'm sure that he spoke to several people and asked them of their own opinions about it. But it was the job that, for Pat O'Shea, it was a kind of a perfect finale to his kind of coaching career, I think.
Are you surprised, Martin, and I mentioned it in an interview I did with him the other day, are you surprised how he tamed himself down in the sideline? When he was in the sideline with the Crokes, he'd be jumping up and down, throwing his cap in the ground and jumping on top of it. But now he's cool, calm and collected. He keeps the arms crossed. He was fairly vocal and very demonstrative in the line with G, wasn't he?
He was, yeah, certainly. But, you know, we spoke about that actually recently. I was away on holidays, and when I came back, we spoke about it. And I said to him, the build-up to the All-Ireland final now between Cork and Kerry, is there much of a difference between that and the build-up to the club championship final? And he said, there's no comparison. He said, the build-up at county level is a lot more low-key, because, he said, first and foremost, he said, you're not as involved with the players as you would be at club level, because you don't know them on a personal basis as well. Obviously, there's a few of the Corksfellas involved. But with the club, he said, you're practically one big family. And he often said that. He said, we're all the one crowd, like, you know. And, oh, he was. There was times on the line that he was very, very, very demonstrative at times. But, no, I think that, and I don't know what it would be the same for every manager, but if you go across the board, I'd say managers that would have been in charge of a club team and then stepped up maybe to be in charge of a county team, there is a different, and of course, when you're involved with Kerry and with all these cameras on all the matches in here, you have to abide by the rules, because everyone's watching you the whole time.
After being involved with him now for all those years, how many years did you say you were involved with him, roughly?
Well, I mean, three years as a selector, the last 3 years up to this year, but I mean, I started playing, from 1988, yeah. I was involved with joined the Crokes, so I know Pat O'Shea since probably 19, I suppose I came to town in 81, I know Pat since 82, 83 in here. And we've been friends ever since. I mean, but since 1983, would say, you know, the men.
So, sum up Pat O'Shea now.
In a word.
In a few words.
Well, I mean, I would rate him a top class coach, you know, great hit for the game, great reader of the game, great man to analyse games, whether it be through video or through chatting with somebody else. And as I said, he speaks, I know for a fact that he speaks to coaches all over the country through work, but I say he rings guys as well in different counties. He's picking up little bits of information the whole time. He leaves no stone unturned, as most of the coaches probably don't, but he is, I would say that it is very hard to sum him up, like, you know, in a one or a couple, but he's, for me, he's the guy that, supreme confidence, a very, very shrewd, smart coach, and a great reader of the game, and a great reader of the opposition, I would say, you know, which is very, very important. Great reader of the opposition, and basically, I'd say, very much his own man when it comes down to it, you know.
Yeah.
Very
now, much his own man. He played hurling with Kerry, he played football with Kerry, he played basketball with Kerry. He's managing coach in Kerry now, but he was a very good soccer player too. Excellent. I mean, I see him playing in the seven sides. Yeah. He must have won a lot. He was playing with the Tattlejack, isn't that right?
Sorry,
but he was a very, very skillful soccer player.
Yeah.
Would he have made it in soccer, we'd say at local Munster or Kerry level?
Well, I would imagine if he was putting in as much time to soccer as he was putting to football, he'd have been on the Kerry, the Oscar trainer team comfortably every year, no problem whatsoever. I mean, if he was willing, maybe through college, if he kept up the soccer again, he went to college up in Waterford, he might have maybe played with Waterford or whatever, I don't know, he might have played a League of Ireland. I mean, he certainly had the skill to do it, you know. I mean, he was as good as that as he was at any other game he played, so he's an all-rounder, I mean, quite talented in everything, I mean, outside of sport as well, you know. So, I'd say he would wish you, he would have had a crack at it, I'd say, you know.
That's great, no. You know?